Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show.
Brent Seabrook's in the building. The Blackhawks are ready for Authentic Fan Night here at the United Center, one of just two remaining on the season. Hawks and Hurricanes headed your way in 90 minutes right here on NBC Sports Chicago. Former United Center star Derrick Rose will reunite with Tom Thibodeau in Minnesota. Rose will play the rest of the season for the T-Wolves and Tibbs. Javi Baez left today's spring training game after limping around first base. Plus, 2017 world champion Dallas Keuchel takes aim at the Cubs. It's all on Sports Talk Live starting right now. Welcome into Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado on Authentic Fan Night. Let's meet the panel for today's show. From the Tribune, David Haw, Charlie Remeliotis from our NBCSportsChicago.com website and NHL.com as well, and Mr. Hockey, Mark Lazarus from the Sun-Times. So what do you guys make? I was a little panicked about Javi.
Okay, yeah. I'm
but
glad
now
you're
they're
over
saying
that. Yeah.
It's just a cramp.
Javi Baez is
going to be fine.
Just a cramp in the
hamstring. It's going to be okay.
You're thinking baseball in the middle of the United Center.
Always.
Yeah, all right.
That's always good. Thinking baseball in Chicago. This is what this city.
Can we talk
be,
about how awful and long spring training is? Is that allowed to talk about? Because this is excruciating. Like, we're halfway through and we've been talking about these guys for 7 months now.
We still have a few more weeks.
Are they really this out of shape?
No.
It's just a cash grab, man.
Well,
this is awful.
Potentially some
it's
are.
Awful.
Yes. Three,
let's talk hockey.
Hockey training hockey. Camp is 3 weeks long, and it's excruciating. I can imagine baseball.
Hawks have nothing to play for. It's very odd right now to be here in March, and the Hurricanes come into town. They have a better record. They're having a better season. But it's still a little exciting. I mean, not exciting. That's the wrong word. It's an interesting night tonight. Scott Darling in net. Teuvo Teravainen leading Carolina in scoring and points.
19 goals.
And we can have the debate which – prospect the Hawks traded away, do they miss the most?
Well, the way Scott Darling's playing this season, Anton Forsberg, Jeff Glass, and J.F. Berube are all significantly better than the way Darling has performed
this
year.
Darling.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Excuse me.
Teuvo, Hartman.
In the long run.
Teuvo's the one that got away to me. Teuvo's the one that got away.
He's going to be the one you miss for years.
You threw him away to get 1 year of $4 million of Brian Bickle off your books. That was a mistake. I don't know. You know, obviously, they thought they were going to have some trouble re-signing him when he became a free agent, but they could have made that work. This is a guy who can play forward. He can play wing. He's getting better every year, and he's like 22, 23 years old. He's now the leading scorer for a pretty decent team. You slot him back into the lineup tonight, and this team looks a lot better.
Would you have rather, when they traded him, would you have rather eaten some of the Brian Bickle salary rather than attach and get that whole salary?
Well, it was problematic because the Hawks were a cap team at the time. They had to get rid of some of that Bickle salary. So I don't know if that even would have been enough. They needed all $4 million off the books. But the fact is they lost in the first round that year, so it didn't pay off. It was a gamble, and it failed, and it's going to haunt the Hawks for at least 10 more years.
I just wish they would have been more creative. I mean, it's easy to say now, but I think even then there were people that were like – anybody but Teuvo. Teuvo Teravainen is a guy that when he made his debut here, whatever year that was, I mean, that was an electric night. I mean, we overstated
Teuvo time.
There was a big Superman on the Tribune, the cover of the Tribune.
The guy has his own hashtag.
Yeah, it was a big deal. And I think that, you know, it took him a while to fit in. He was so young, and he didn't always fit into what Joel Quenneville wanted. But you know what? You're seeing now why.
But you already knew by the time they traded him, they had won a Stanley Cup with him playing a significant role.
Exactly.
That third line of Sharp, Vermette, and Teravainen is why they won the Stanley Cup.
He played a big role in that series.
Right.
Yeah.
Would you agree he ended up in Joel's doghouse a little bit? And if so, how did he get
there? No, I don't think he really ever did. Joel was fond of him because he was a better defensive player at first than he was an offensive player. It's kind of like what we see with Nick Schmaltz, where when he first came in, he was hesitant to shoot. He was deferring all the time, but he was pretty responsible in his own end. I don't think he was really ever in Tavo's doghouse. Teuvo loved the kid.
Yeah, and I think that he just – Mark's right. I mean,
or Joel loved the kid. Excuse
Joel loved Teuvo.
Yeah, you knew what you wanted. You knew what you meant. It was a necessary evil. They were trying to unload the salary. They would do anything that they could do to get rid of the Brian Bickle salary, and Teuvo was just the guy to put in.
If they had won the cup that year, it would have been worth it.
It would have been worth it. They
Which
did
is
win
easy
the
to
cup
say in
and,
hindsight.
And now you're full of regret, and we're going to remind them of this every time they come to town because this is the guy, this is the one that got away.
I think if you're looking at Teuvo as a top six forward, Joel Quenneville probably didn't see him in that role, but he's like the ideal third-line center for Joel Quenneville. So that, I think in a sense that if you think he's a top six forward and maybe he was the one that got away, sure, but Joe Quenneville loved him as a third-line center, and I don't know if he would have.
Imagine if you're trying to unload Brent Seabrook's contract right now, and you were going to throw in Alex DeBrincat. That's basically what this was.
I was just going to ask you that. So if Tavo, if you believe Tavo is the one that got away, who's the one player you don't want to see the Blackhawks lose as they try to regroup in the offseason?
It's obviously DeBrincat. But, I mean, I wasn't thrilled about them getting rid of Ryan Hartman. You can't – my opinion was that you get rid of guys that you draft and develop so you get a draft pick so you can get a guy to develop into, you know, the guy that you just traded. That didn't make any sense to me, and I think there's not anybody left here now except for DeBrincat. You're not going to trade him. They're not going to do that anymore. They're not in that mode. They're in rebuilding mode. They're not in shedding salary mode. Heck, they're handing out overpriced salaries and contracts now to guys who really haven't earned
Which makes you wonder, maybe they thought that Ryan Hartman was going to need more money than he was, and that's why they felt they had to trade him. Because if you think that Jan Rutta is worth $2.25 million after playing, what, 40, 42 games?
How does that happen, Mark? How do they conclude?
I was going to say, what do you think of the move, and how does that fit into the future?
I'll say it's an overpay. Eric Gustafson was an overpay at $1.2 million. Eric Gustafson was making $650,000 this year. He would have come. He's a restricted free agent. He would have come back for $900,000. That's $300,000 you say. That stuff adds up. And Jan Rutta could have had for – I know he's older. That plays into it. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent. That plays into it, too. You don't want to lose him. Fine. He would have signed for 1.5, 1.75. These hundreds of thousands of dollars add up in the long run to a player, a two players. And these are overpays. And this is a problem the Hawks have made from Richard Panik to David Rundblad. Time and time again, they overpay their own guys.
So would you have been able to afford Hartman?
Yeah, the Hawks have a ton of cap space this year.
They just invested $3 million in two guys who don't necessarily aren't obviously good investments, right? I mean, so that money... If you were worried about fitting him under the cap, I don't know if that was is a premature concern.
What's alarming to me is that they're basically saying we're bringing this defense back next year. And this defense has been, other than Corey Crawford's injury, of course, this defense has been the biggest concern. And they had this money. They could have made him maybe make a run at a John Carlson or some unrestricted free agent. And now you wonder if they're going to be able to do that. They've got six guys under contract next year on one-way deals for over $20 million. And I'm not sure how much money is going to be left now to bolster that defense.
Yeah, it tells me two things. Either they're very content with rolling back this same blue line group, or they're very confident that they can trade one of those guys in the offseason. And I don't know how you are confident in that, because...
How could you be confident in either?
Right.
Because you don't know what the trade market's going to be.
Right.
And if you're confident in the group that you had, you haven't paid attention to the season.
Eric Gustafson and Jan Rutta would be perfectly good 6 or 7 defensemen. Like, if that's your 6 and 7, that's great. But right now in this lineup, they're 4 or 5.
They're not
sometimes
being threes. Paid by six and seven defensemen.
You got a lot of... You got Duncan Keith, and you got a bunch of third-pairing guys right now, which is disconcerting.
And this is another problem with you've already identified the 7 guys that are going to be on your blue line next year. So you've already blocked Gustav Forsling potentially coming back up, or even Henry Jokiharju from their top prospect.
Easy for you to say.
Well, I'm
say it again.
Jokiharju.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm Greek. I can.
That's pretty
it
good.
Flows
there,
off the tongue.
That's impressive. You've been studying your pronunciation dictionary. Yeah. That's good.
Speaking of, there's someone in Artemi Panarin jersey right there. So that's another one that got away. There's a few of those.
Yeah.
Well, you got somebody back from that you thought was going to...
Right.
And still could bounce back.
Still very well could. I expect he
will.
But
right now he is the other one that got away.
Man, but did you see Brandon Saad the other night against Colorado? That was the Brandon Saad we remember. He was a monster in that game. Had a goal overturned, but he was everywhere. He was impossible to knock off the puck. That guy's still there, and he's only 25.
I have to say, I liked that. I understood that at the time. When you get Brandon Saad back, a two-way guy, I understood they're trying to unlock the Jonathan Toews, on the front line and everything, but he has not been anything but a disappointment
this year. So how do you fix the team in the offseason? What do you do? I mean, we don't have the answers. You didn't like some of the moves, but what are the right moves?
Well, obviously you have to have Corey Crawford get healthy. That is number one priority. This team right now, the way it's built and the way it's played, if you had Corey Crawford back there, if you had a .929 save percentage, they'd be in a wild card spot. So that's the biggest thing. You still need, there's 6 guys in that lineup right now. You also have Forsling and Jokiharju, like Charlie said. You need to get another defenseman. You need a top 4 defenseman. That's where you got to pool all your money. There's enough forwards here. Taves can have a bounce back year like Anze Kopitar has this year. Brandon Saad's going to have a bounce back year like Marian Hossa did last year. All the analytics point to that. But you need to improve this defense.
Yeah, they have, sorry, David. They have the cap space to make a splash if they wanted to. But by trading Ryan Hartman, you also – now they have 2 first-round picks, and one of them is probably going to be a top 8 pick. So you can essentially maybe trade a top 8 pick. You can essentially trade that top 8 pick, or even if you want to trade the lower of the high pick.
Package
them. Yeah, package it. Package it for an impact D-man.
Make a splash. Something's got to change.
Impress us. Do something creative. You know, remind us why, if they're not going to make a change in the front office, if they're not going to make a change in the hierarchy, impress us and show us how smart you are again. It's going to require something creative.
It's going to be an interesting summer here in Chicago. Speaking of summer, you don't want to talk baseball, but we're going there anyway.
I love baseball. I don't want to talk cramps in mid-March.
No, I want to talk about Dallas Keuchel's comment. What do you think? He said, we're not the Cubs when asked about a hangover. Why would you bring up...
Good for him.
I'm fine with the confidence. Why would you bring another team into it?
Because he was asked about a World Series hangover. Who just had a World Series hangover? The Cubs, they were 500.
The only reason the Cubs didn't
make the NLCS.
They made the NLCS, but a year ago this time, I mean, it was a month-long celebration spring training, and they started the season sluggish. And the way they started affected the way they finished. It's the most obvious reference, Luke. Everybody's so sensensive about...
I just wouldn't bring another team's name into it.
Your Cub radar is like, beep, 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 beep,
get my name out of your mouth. Is that your idea?
Yeah. Dallas Keuchel.
What if he would have said it about the Mets the year before?
Well, he certainly would have been right. They're a much better team than the Mets.
Well, that I agree with. Let me say, when he was bringing up the 2016 Cubs, here's a guy who was 9-12 that year. What is he to talk about what was going on?
Did you see the way that beard flaps in the breeze? I'm not messing with that guy.
Oh, I wouldn't want to get near that. Wow.
Well, this is the problem, though, with the hangover. It's not – you can compare the rosters that last year's Cubs to this year's Astros. It's all about mental. You know, like, you get down into the playoffs, and you're fatigued. So I don't understand those comments.
About the Yankees.
Do you remember the panic on this panel every single day for about 3 months last year about the Cubs? There was a serious hangover.
Well,
they did
Cap
struggle.
That's because Cap was
days and he's
a panicky. Cap was hungover.
All right. Let's go to the poll question for tonight. Are the Astros a better team than the Cubs coming into this season?
Yeah, they won the World Series.
No, I don't think so.
Coming into
this
season.
Yeah, they had a nice offseason as well. I think the Cubs, it's a very difficult question. Different league. I think they're both going to be, you could make the argument they're going to both win their respective leagues. I think right now, though, I think the Cubs have a legitimate reason because of getting Darvish that they're the best team in baseball.
And they added Gerrit Cole, who's also a very good pitcher.
Gerrit Cole's very good.
But
I mean,
it's not easy to repeat in baseball.
No,
you can say you're not the Cubs, but go ahead and see what it's going to be like.
Cubs have an edge. Cubs have an edge that the Astros will find, I think, difficult to achieve.
I would like to think the Cubs will have that hunger back, that, you know, I hate to say it, but the chip on the shoulder, all that stuff about, oh, we're being disrespected. Look what Dallas Keuchel said. Put it on the bulletin board. But, I mean, it's all nonsense until October anyway.
NBCSportsChicago.com/vote to continue voting on the poll results. We'll have those coming up later in the show. It is Authentic Fan Night here at the United Center. Blackhawks and Hurricanes, we're getting ready for the game here. We have 90 minutes of action getting you ready. We have an hour-long pregame show. I see Jamal Mayers has strolled into the building. He'll be here in a little bit.
He's loosening up. He's stretching.
More Sports Talk Live after a quick timeout.
Can't get enough of your Blackhawks? Tune in every single game day to Blackhawks pregame and flip back after the action for postgame live all season long, all 82 games, only on NBC Sports Chicago.
Time for our Chevy stat of the day, brought to you by the Chevy Silverado. And the Astros and Cubs, comparing these two franchises, they take a similar path to the World Series. We will see if the Astros bounce back. Dallas Keuchel says his team is not the Cubs in 2017, and they will not have a World Series hangover. We've been asking you our Ankin Law Sports Talk Live poll question, who's going to have the better season? Is it the Cubs, or is it the Astros coming into the season? It's an interesting conversation. 64% are saying Astros.
A lot of Sox fans out there voting.
A lot of Sox fans in our newsroom. They like to get after that, voting and voting and voting.
Because you can vote more than once.
Well, up to 1,000
times. We are also asking this question on the day that Javi Baez strained his hamstring and had a cramp.
Cramped.
There's a lot of pessimism in the air.
We'll see how it all unfolds. Let's go to the Bears, though, right? Another team rebuilding on the fly.
Who
isn't?
Seeing
what they're going to do.
Cubs are the only team not rebuilding.
Give me your wide receiver. They have to get a wide receiver. Who's it going to be? Who's going to be their number one?
Well, it should be Allen Robinson. I think if you look at what he offers in the way of he's young, he's productive, he fits into the Bears' locker room, what they identify as traits as good character. He's a guy coming off an ACL injury as well, but I think his rehab is going well. He's going to be expensive. The Jaguars are going to be motivated to keep him. The 49ers will be interested. But Allen Robinson is a guy you can see fits into not only the short-term plans, but the long-term plans for a team that has to develop a quarterback and needs a guy who came into his own in the last two seasons. He's healthy.
And the ACL was the first game of the season, correct?
Yeah.
So he's had some time to get
healthy.
He'll
be ready by training camp. Most accounts, some people are saying he would be ready by OTAs. Why rush it? Training camp will be soon. And Sammy Watkins, you see there. Look, he's a dynamic, too. He helped Jared Goff develop. But Sammy Watkins is a guy that comes with a little more baggage, a little more inconsistency, and I think a few more question marks when you're going to pay that big.
Would you consider trading for one, or are you not? Are we not there yet?
No, you know, you're rebuilding. Ryan Pace came to Indianapolis last week. He sounded like a guy who just got the job, the GM of an expansion team. And I think when you're in that position, and I think he's right, you don't make trades. You don't give away draft picks. You go after it intelligently. You build with guys 25 and younger. You do it that way. So I don't think you want to make any bold trades to get guys who are more ideally to win now. You're thinking later.
And right. Jarvis Landry would be very expensive for a guy who's really a slot receiver.
But I think that's the kind of guy that would be really ideal for a young quarterback, a safety blanket guy, a guy who's always open for easy routes. That's a guy who helps build the confidence of a quarterback, a Jarvis Landry type, you know, as opposed to like a Sammy Watkins,
yeah.
A home run threat. You're not going to connect with that very often. An underneath guy, a slot guy, a really accessible receiver, that might be the best.
Jarvis
situation.
Landry, 400 receptions in 4 years, 10 yards per catch. He's a possession guy. Right.
He's going to make you better at getting those first downs.
You know you're going to struggle. You know you're not going to be good.
Yeah.
Unless you're Cap, you don't think you're going to the playoffs next year, right? So you want to get guys who you can figure are going to be able to withstand that. I don't know that the rep on Jarvis Landry is that he's one of those kind of guys. For as much as you're going to pay to get him, I don't know that he'd be worth it.
We were talking in commercial a little bit about the other name people have thrown out there, Jimmy Graham.
Yeah.
I said, no. But you're trying to convince me if it's a smaller deal, it's maybe not a terrible idea.
I want to see what the market is for Jimmy Graham. I don't know if he's not going to be the big money guy that he was 3 years ago. And I think that if you can find him, if the market doesn't exist, look at baseball's free agency. Not projecting that's going to happen in the NFL. But if Jimmy Graham is out there for a prove-it deal, he would be a guy that you could see the Bears going to. They need a third tight end. Whether it's Burton, whether it's Graham, somebody, they're going to need a third tight end that's going to be a safety valve for Mitch Trubisky.
But you don't want him to take too much playing time away from Shaheen if you can get him on the field. Correct?
No.
That's who you want to be your guy.
You want Adam Shaheen to be the guy you develop. But, Luke, I mean, in the NFL, you're going to use more than one tight end. And Shaheen is a guy that, you know, frankly, developed slowly. He wasn't a lost season. But I think it's one that, you know, you have to remember. He played Division II college football. The pace of the game, the speed of Sunday – It's been an adjustment period. So I don't know that, you know, you need another tight end. So whoever is the most affordable and makes the most sense.
There are so many holes to fill on that Bears team. I don't know.
It's almost like they're not very good.
They're not. I don't know where they go even in the draft. Like, I look at a different position. They really need a wide receiver. Oh, they really need a cornerback. Oh, they really need someone to rush the passer. I don't know where they go.
I'm of the belief you go out and you get a wide receiver. You're not going to have a lot of opportunities. There are. We've seen time and again now, going back to, you know, Odell Beckham and some of these guys, you can come in and be a star right away. I know they got burned by the Kevin White pick, but that doesn't mean you never go to that well
again.
Have
you seen his abs?
I don't believe in best player available. I believe in what you need. And they need someone. If you can't get someone in free agency like we're talking about,
You've got to go best player. You have so many holes. A wide receiver at 8 could be something that sets you back. If it's Calvin Ridley and he's not ready.
Yeah.
I just think you've got to go, even if it's a pass rusher.
Was Kevin White number 8? That sounds familiar to me.
I think it was 7. Okay. 7.
Yeah.
Close
7.
Enough.
Yeah. I don't see how you take another receiver given the Kevin White one didn't work out very well. I don't know. I would prioritize probably offensive line if you're going to go offense. Or offensive line was
Saquon
probably.
Saquon Barkley. If Saquon Barkley happens to drop to 8.
Protect Mitch.
Will
protect
not happen.
Mitch. Never.
It will not happen. But if it did.
Do it.
Yes.
All right. We have one other big story today. That is Derrick Rose signing with the Timberwolves. We're going to talk about it when we come back on Sports Talk Live after a quick timeout. It is Authentic Fan Night at the United Center. Blackhawks and Hurricanes coming up, and D. Rose headed for a reunion with Tibbs in Minnesota.
Whether you're on the go or stuck at work late, don't miss a second of your Chicago Bulls. All NBC Sports Chicago games, including pre- and post-games, can be live-streamed on the NBC Sports app. Wherever you are, you're there.
Welcome back to Sports Talk Live. Our poll question tonight was, are the Astros a better team than the Chicago Cubs coming up in 2018? You went online and voted, and 59% say yeah. The Astros are better than the Cubs.
What's going on here?
Chicago's a very pessimistic town by nature.
I think that was hacked by somebody in Russia. That had to be.
Don't forget there are Sox fans. Or the South Side. One of the two. So the other big story today is Derrick Rose, the former star here at the United Center. Youngest MVP in NBA history, now is going to for a reunion with Tibbs in Minnesota.
Yeah, the Timberwolves.
I mean, I can't believe he's going there. And I
why? It's not that hard to. It's not that hard to grasp. NBA journeyman
there.
Reunites with the coach that where he had the most success with. That makes sense. NBA.
I feel bad for him because I think this is the end of it.
Everybody
can say that a couple times now. We said that in New York. We said that in Cleveland.
I feel really bad for him. I think it's a descent that has a lot of factors that contributed to it. Not always fair. It hasn't been fair to Derrick Rose.
There's still. I mean, he's averaging almost 10 points a game in fewer than 20 minutes a game. There's still some ability there.
Yes.
But he just can't be a guy you can rely on a lot. If he's your third guy off the bench, sure, go nuts, whatever. And Tibbs is going to know how to deploy him.
This is just really funny to me because I thought that Derrick Rose and Jimmy Butler and Noah all felt overworked under Tibbs. And then Hoiberg comes in and he's so laid back and they want accountability. And now they follow Tibbs.
Can
and
you name
like, what do you want?
Can
like,
you name the fifth ex-Bull on the Timberwolves besides Taj?
Taj.
Well, not Taj Gibson.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler. Derrick Rose. Aaron Brooks.
The wow. Timber Bulls.
Not the quarterback, Laz.
Thank you.
You would have had me fooled for you. Nate Robinson.
Hey, Jeremy Roenick, we got a promotion coming up. I want to tell you guys about this. You could win sweet tickets to a game and Jeremy Roenick autographed hockey sticks for you and your friends. Register for the Power Play number at NBCSportsChicago.com/CoorsLightPowerPlay. Listen for the announcement of the winning numbers during the third period of Saturday's game, which is coming up against the Bruins. Authentic Fan Night is tonight. We've got an hour-long pregame show coming up. Quickly, we've got a minute left. Is Loyola going to make a legitimate run at a Cinderella story like my dear Valpo did so many years ago?
Why not? I mean, you
Sweet
don't know
16?
Who they're playing
can
yet, but absolutely they can. I mean, that is a team. You look at the numbers, you look at the RPI. They got a little magic going, so why not?
I hope so, just because this is a really depressing time to be a college basketball fan in this state. Northwestern and Illinois really let us all down.
Yeah, well, I don't know enough, but let's just get some excitement in Chicago, so might as well.
I'll tell you who's not Luke is Valpo. Valpo's not going to do it this year.
Sorry,
no,
Luke.
They're not. No.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Remember to watch the show weekdays on CSN and visit csnchicago.com for previous episodes of the podcast and all the latest sports news and highlights.